Well, for more analysis on the situation, we're joined by Mike Gravel, who's a former U.S. senator, all the way from Washington. We're joined by him. Welcome to the program, sir. Also, I presume you've been hearing our correspondent, Ashraf Shannon, talking about the humanitarian side of the issue. What's your take on this?
It's revolting. When you stop and think that all this has been initiated because of an election, the election in Israel, this has been ginned up so that they can get the people in Israel to vote more conservatively for a conservative government. That's an absolute tragedy. Now, I can understand, you know, spending a lot of money in campaigns to brainwash people, but to go to war and to cost thousands of lives in order to win an election, this is beyond the pale, and that's what's initiated this. I can't help but make the comparison, and it's a tragic comparison to make. When you look at what the Nazis did with Warsaw and what the Israelis are doing with Gaza City, surrounding it and pummeling it to oblivion, is just unimaginable. It's a comparison that really is revolting to see.
Of course, elections are the cost of civilian death, but special Middle East envoy Tony Blair, in a meeting with Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, said the, quote, elements were in place for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. What elements could he possibly mean?
Well, I've got to tell you, I'm not very proud of the role that Hosni Mubarak has been playing in this situation. He's acting from a pretty safe venue. No, not at all. I don't know what elements are in place. Over the years, essentially Gaza has been an open-air prison. And we just look at the flare-up that we see now. But you don't get the reportage that's been going on through the years where wantonly the Israelis have turned off electricity for the whole community. That's 1,300,000 people that have had their electricity shut off wantonly by the Israeli Israeli forces. They've cut off the tax revenues that were supposed to go to these people. And then when these people voted in a democratic fashion for Hamas to be their representatives, the United States government agreed with Israel to punish these people because they voted in a democratic fashion for Hamas to be their representatives. This is going back to the what is the underlying cause for the destruction and the violence and the tragedy you see today. This is what's forgotten and what's covered over. And for those who are informed about the issue, they know what's going on.
Surprising is the fact that Washington abstained from voting in favor of the UN resolution last Thursday after, according to an alarming story by the Associated Press that says that Ehud Olmert, the Israeli Prime Minister, called upon George W. Bush and told him not to vote for the resolution, which then led to Condoleezza Rice expressing Washington's abstention. Can a leader of one government tell the leader of another what to do, especially in this critical case?
Well, of course, that's what's been going on for quite a number of years in the United States Congress and, of course, with the presidency through the influence that the Jewish lobby has in the Congress and with the presidency of the United States. We saw this at the recent convention after Obama secured the nomination, when he went before the AIPAC convention and swore allegiance to abide by what they felt was their interpretation of what should take place in the Middle East.
Well, you were very critical of Egypt. Well, Egypt has proposed a ceasefire. How feasible is it, for example, among the Egyptian proposal, to send international monitors to Gaza? Will that help?
Well, I don't think Egypt should be sending the international advisors. I would think that the UN should be the one to step in, send in the advisors, and separate the parties involved and not have it under the control of the Security Council, but under the General Assembly, where you could get a more even vote on this subject.
Well, speaking about the United Nations, the UN chief Ban Ki-moon is due in the region on Tuesday, as he's mentioned in a press conference today. Are you optimistic?
I'm not optimistic, unfortunately, until the Israelis decide that they've had enough. And they have really dealt themselves a very poor hand. They have no exit strategy to what they have initiated.
Well, what effective role can the United Nations play in this regard, then?
Well, they'll only be able to play a role once Israel realizes that the world community is aligned against them. And that may have an effect on the United States. It's not having an effect right now, but it may have an ultimate effect on the United States and the credibility the United States has in the world today. As this new administration takes over the American government, if the world will make its views felt with the Obama administration to let them know that their continued support without question of whatever Israel does is not acceptable to the world community and to the balance of the United Nations membership, that may have an effect. I'm not convinced it will, but it may have an effect.
Of course, the Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is saying that Israel is nearing its goals. What has Israel achieved so far, other than the death of about 1,000 people, more than half of them civilians, and of course the anger, hatred, and condemnation of the international community?
You just said it. They've not achieved a goal that is worthwhile other than the enmity of the world community.
Well, how is that going to affect Israel then in the future?
That's going to affect Israel in the long run in a very negative fashion. Israel cannot subsist as an island alone. It is a community that must live with the world community. And it may think that because it has the support of the United States, that is all it needs. That is not going to be enough in the long run.
Do you think, will Israel reach a point where it will lose the U.S. support?
It's quite possible. It is quite possible. There will be prices to pay for this, and that remains to be seen.
All right. The interesting thing is that, as many say, is that what if it were the other way around and there was an all-out war against Israel?
I don't understand when you say all-out war against Israel.
For example, now, there's an all-out war against Gaza now. What would it be if it was the other way around?
There's no possibility of that because Israel is the commanding military power in the Middle East. And so there's no possibility of that taking place. And of course, with the support of the United States, it's not a reasonable alternative.
All right, Mike Gravel, former U.S. Senator, joining us from Washington. Many thanks for your thoughts there, sir.